Please welcome Michael Kaplan.
Everybody's creative process is different. For me, I come into Slolio, I look at the new theme that's been posted, and I immediately think, yeah, I got nothing. And I'm pretty sure that I'm tapped out. I've told all the stories I'm going to tell. And so then, you know, in the coming weeks, I'll muse upon the theme, and eventually memories will start to collect like figures in a heavy mist. And I can't make out faces. I can't make out details. And eventually one comes close enough and grabs me by the arm, and I'm your story. And there's really no turning back at that point. I'm not going to be able to swap it out for something else. This is the story that wants to be told with this theme. And I offer up this preface kind of as a warning, because this story has two dogs that die. And that kind of feels like I'm breaking an unspoken rule of Slolio. You know, I mean, Kirk will get up and tell you, okay, 8 to 10 minutes, true stories, no ranting, but, you know, also really no more than one dead dog. So, you know, consider this a trigger warning. I was living alone in Venice Beach when I turned 30, and the family that was renting the house next door to me, they had a young dog that looked to be like a mix of Chocolate Lab and Chesapeake Bay Retriever. And, you know, anytime I was passing by, I would stop and reach over the fence and pet it and give it a little bit of affection. And one day the woman came to me and said that unexpectedly they had to move back east right away and they couldn't take the dog, and did I want to adopt it? And I had just almost simultaneously ended two relationships. I had been, you know, nursing and holding out hope for this long distance relationship that nearly had lasted 10 years before I finally decided, no, I've got to cut the cord on that. And then the woman that I had been living with, who had become acutely aware of the fact that I was holding out hope for that long-distance relationship, called bullshit on me and moved out. And so I figured a dog was probably less drama. And so I took her in, and I named her Billy, after Billie Holiday, and got her tag, got her a collar, took her to the vet, and then gave her her first taste of heroin. And that's not literally true. What I did was I gave her a tennis ball. But the effect was kind of the same. There was a serious addiction that set in, because I thought, all right, I'm going to throw the ball, you'll get it, you'll bring it back, and we'll just do this for 10, 15 minutes. It'll be engaging for both of us. Billy didn't need anybody else. She got that tennis ball and just went into this obsessed little bubble where she would push down on it with her paw or her snout, and it would pop up, and she would catch it and chomp on it and shake it and spin around a few times and then do it again until she had kind of exhausted herself. And around the house, if she was suddenly alarmed or got a little bit excited, she would walk around with that ball in her mouth, just madness in her eyes, just looking like, you know, a full-on addict. And I would take her every morning to the dog park, which was not technically a dog park. It was the field at the elementary school, and the cops would give you an $80 ticket if they caught you out there with your dog, but it was widely known that if you got there before 7:30 in the morning, nobody would hassle you. And so a bunch of us would roll right out of bed and bring our dogs to the park, and it was kind of like a cocktail party without alcohol, because everybody was just kind of groggy and punchy and saying anything without censorship. And that was where I met my wife. She showed up with her little chocolate Labrador puppy that she had bought at a pet store in Century City. And that poor dog, Tess, had serious genetic handicaps. I mean, this was a classic puppy mill dog that was going to have all kinds of hip operations. Anyway, I suggested after weeks of making small talk in the park that, you know, maybe we do a non-canine recreational activity. And so we started to go out, and we fell in love, and we eventually moved to Cambria. And when I was living in Cambria, I started to become a very nonchalant and negligent owner. Because I lived in this sleepy neighborhood on Lodge Hill where, you know, the streets alternated between dirt roads and paved roads. And I would go walking with the dogs, and I stopped using leashes because I had this notion that, well, they had cut their teeth as urban dogs. They knew they were streetwise. They'd stay on the side with me. They'd follow me. And that was largely true. But the morning, the Saturday morning that Susan and I were going to have our big wedding party, we had been married in a small ceremony about a month before for family only. We're throwing a big party. I'm taking the dogs out. I cross the street. And then I realize that Billy has found a tennis ball in the bushes. And she is working it over with her one dog show, just playing with it, playing with it, playing with it. And then, in that sort of agonizing slow motion, a car came speeding up the street, and Billy suddenly picked up the ball and ran to catch up with me and ran right in front of the car and was knocked down and killed instantly. And I gathered her up and brought her home, and I was just devastated. And you know, that evening at the party, a couple of different friends tried to tell me, well, she'd served her purpose. She'd brought you and your wife together and she could move on. But I knew that wasn't true. I knew it was my fault. And there was just no really getting over that. 8 years later, we're living in Oceano. We've got a 6-year-old daughter and we've got a 3-year-old son. And boy, they really want a family dog. And I have a lot of trepidation about this, but my wife hears about a woman in Atascadero who had a champion breeder, yellow lab, but the randy Aussie shepherd next door had come to visit, and there was now this mixed litter that she couldn't get rid of fast enough. And so we went up there, and my kids immediately picked a puppy that looked like a yellow lab, and then my wife spotted sort of the runt of the litter that was a little brown dog, looked kind of like an Aussie shepherd, and said, well, why don't we get both of them? And, that seemed like a teachable moment that, we're going to take the runt and bring it home. And we did. And the kids named the yellow dog Goldie and named the other dog Tilly. And it didn't even strike me until sometime later that the whole Billy Tilly rhyme was going on there. All I was thinking was, first, do no harm. But in about a month, Tilly was having some intestinal problems, and there was blood in her stool, and we brought her to the vet, the kids and I. And the vet said, well, you know, these are the symptoms of parvo. And if that's what she's got, then she's not going to make it. You'll probably need to put her down right away. Let me take her in back and make sure. And this was not the teachable moment I was looking for. You know, okay, kids, here's your puppy. And now we're going to take away the puppy. I mean, I have no problem with my kids learning about the circle of life. But that's supposed to be a bigger circle, like not the size of a peanut butter cup. And the vet came back in and he said, it's not parvo, you're fine. And gave us some medicine. And so for 15 years, these were our family dogs. And Tilly, although she looked like an Aussie shepherd, like a true work dog, was an Aussie shepherd on island time. You know, she was like, oh, yeah, I'll get the goats, man, but they're having a good time and it's hot. Don't worry. You know, she just seemed to have the key to life. And when my daughter went to a boarding school called Midland, which is sort of a rustic school that allows students, if they have their grades up, to live with the dog. She brought Goldie with her, and that pretty much solidified the fact that Tilly was my dog, that we had the same rhythms, and we understood each other. And she had no weakness for tennis balls. You know, all she wanted to do was lie down as close to me as I would let her, which was usually at my feet under the desk while I was working. And for a number of years that were quite difficult for me in terms of being professionally disappointing and personally challenging, you know, I had the blessing of Tilly's love, which was just unblemished by misunderstandings or changes in tone of voice or jokes that were more hurtful than funny or, you know, disputes about any damn thing. I mean, this was just very, very simple, mutual adoration at a time when, you know, I didn't even like myself very much. So this was really a life raft in a stormy period. And as my dogs got to be 15 years old, I vowed that when the time came, I was not going to swoop in and intervene. I mean, they used to get so stressed anytime they would go to the vet. I wasn't going to subject them to batteries of tests or, you know, high-end surgeries that might give them an extra year but was sort of compromised quality of life. And the day after this past Thanksgiving, Tilly went into my office and lay down by my desk and did not want to get up. And didn't want to go for the walk, didn't want to eat. And I kept coming in and checking on her and sitting with her. And this went on for 24 hours. I woke up at 3 in the morning. I went to see her. She looked up. We checked in with each other. But when I woke up at the dawn, she was gone. And I miss her. I miss her every morning when I walk Goldie and every time I sit at my desk. But, you know, when I think of Billy, I always find myself saying, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. But I think that for the rest of my life, when I think of Tilly, I'll just be saying thank you, because this was a second chance I really needed.